Praise the Lord, everybody. God is so good. Did you enjoy the dance? All right.
好，喜欢跳舞吗？好，是不是都拿到耳机了？
Let's all stand up one more time.
让我们再起立，再一次。
I want you to say with me, Jesus.
Jesus, 跟我一起说。
Thank you for this day.
Thank you for this day.
We celebrate.
We celebrate
the coming of the Holy Spirit.
The coming of the Holy Spirit.
We open our hearts.
We open our heart
to receive everything.
To receive everything
that you have for us.
That you have for us.
In the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
In the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
We give you praise.
We give you praise.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Amen.
Praise the Lord. You may be seated.
请坐。
I want you to know that I have an online Bible college called Real Knowledge Bible College. It's an accredited program, and you can earn associate, bachelor, master's, and doctoral degrees in ministry and theology.And I have catalogs out on the table, so you can grab one today if you'd like. And our program is accredited, but it is very affordable. It only is $125 for registration, and then it's only $40 a unit. And you know, normally units for an accredited college can range between $250 to $300 a unit.But we only charge $40 a unit. All of the classes are done online at your own pace. But it is in English. We do have maybe about 5 classes that are in Mandarin, but we haven't got them established on our online program yet. We're working on that. But all the classes are in English, and there are...3 areas that we focus on specifically. One, well, actually, I would have to say 5 areas, and I'll read them to you real quickly. One is building character, because there's a lot of people who get into ministry, but they don't have character. And God wants us to have character, godly character, in the way that we handle people and the way we minister to people.Also, we lay a foundation in the Word of God, and we also put what is being learned into practical application. So, like, for instance, if you went on a missions trip, you can enroll that missions trip in our program, and you earn accredited units from that missions trip. So it's really nice. Also, we have the understanding of the Hebraic roots, and so you have an understanding of your Jewish roots in the faith,So we have classes that have to do with the Jewish roots. And then lastly, but not least, living supernaturally, naturally. And that is learning how to live and move with the Holy Spirit in a natural world so that you can touch lives. So if you're interested in looking, we have a catalog out on the table out there. And I brought some...products from Israel that you might like. And also, my wife and I, we make all of our anointing oils. They're made with essential oils, and we pray over them. And we studied under a biblical apothecary, and we learned about the different botanicals from the Bible and what they're...prophetic meanings mean. And so when we do different blends, they have to do with that type of, with that purpose. So these oils put together, like for instance, we have a oil called Heart of Worship. And that is one of our favorites of most people, but that has 4 oils in it. It has pomegranate oil, almond oil. It has sandalwood oil and spikenard oil. And all of these have to do with our worship, because pomegranate in the Song of Solomon has to do with love. Almond has to do with Aaron's rod that budded, and so it represents spirit-filled life. And also sandalwood, all the stairs into the temple, when they entered the temple in Jerusalem, were made from the sandalwood. So how we enter into God's presence. So the sandalwood represents that, as well as many of the instruments of David were made with sandalwood. And then the last one, spikenard, when Mary broke the alabaster and anointed the feet of Jesus in extravagant worship, it was spikenard oil mixed with other aromatic oils. And that's why this is called the heart of worship. That's just an example. But we're going to get in today to our message, Shavuot, Pentecost. Can you say it in Hebrew? Shavuot. Shavuot actually means weeks. It doesn't mean 50 days, it means weeks. But it has to do with the 50 days, which Pentecost actually means 50 days. But the Bible names for Pentecost are Feast of Harvest, Feast of Weeks, and the Day of the First Fruits. And the word Pentecost means 50 days. So the celebration, what do the Jewish people celebrate on this day? Because this is a celebration that was before Jesus' time and during Jesus' time. And so God specifically chose this holiday to send his Holy Spirit. And you're going to see today why he sent his Spirit on this specific day. Because you know what the Jewish people celebrate on this specific day? They celebrate the giving of the law of Moses. They celebrate the giving of the law. And so they also, it is also a pattern of the temple given to for the tabernacle on this day. And it is 50 days after the Passover lamb was slain for the redemption from Egypt and celebrating the offering of the first fruits. And so they count the Omer. What is the Omer? Do they find 50 people in Israel named Omer and they count each one? No. No. What is an Omer then? An Omer is a sheaf. What is a sheaf? It is a bundle of the harvest that is bound together. And they count 49 days, counting the sheaves, till the harvest of the first fruits. So this is a day of first fruits also. Now let's see how the institution came about. We're celebrating the first fruits of the harvest. And in Leviticus 23, 9 and 10, it says, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give to you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf,'" which is an omer. "Bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest." Verse 11, "He shall wave the sheaf." So get this picture, waving the offering. "He will wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf. And on the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And you shall offer on that day, when you wave the sheaf, a male lamb of the first year without blemish as a burnt offering to the Lord." And then we see in verse 13, "It's a grain offering, shall be 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil, an offering made by fire to the Lord for a sweet aroma, and its drink offering shall be of wine, 1/4 of a hin. You shall eat neither bread nor parched grain nor fresh grain until the same day that you have brought an offering to God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and in all your dwellings." So even to this day, we celebrate Shavuot, because he said it shall be a statute throughout your generations in all your dwellings. Verse 15, "And you shall count for yourself from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath, then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord. You shall bring from your dwelling 2 wave loaves of 2/10 of an ephah. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. Then they are the first fruits of the Lord. So I want you to see this picture. What the priest does is he takes the baked loaves and he lifts it up to the Lord and he shakes it and he shakes it. He shakes it and he shakes it. So he faces the north, south, east, and west and shakes the offering to the Lord. Okay? And these loaves have a lot of meaning to us, even today, as Christians, as believers, because on the day of Shavuot, also, what the Jewish people do is they read the book of Ruth. And the book of Ruth, we see that Boaz, her husband, was a Jew, and Ruth was a Gentile, right? And we look in the New Testament, and we see the bride being the church, and Jesus being our bridegroom. We also see the one new man, which is the Jew and the Gentile together. You see, we are all one in Christ. There is neither male or female. There's neither bond or free. There's neither Jew or Gentile. We are all one in Christ. Amen? Now, I've said this before. I don't know if I said it here before, but sometimes, because I am a Jew that has come to know Jesus, that people try to elevate me above other people because of my Jewish background. But I bring a lot of heritage to the church. I bring a lot of understanding to the church because of my heritage. But I am no better than you. We are all one in Christ. Amen? And there's not one greater than the other. And we are what Ephesians, the book of Ephesians says, is we are one new man. That means the Jew and the Gentile together. That he has broken down the middle wall of partition between us and has made us one. And you saw our teaching last time we came about the olive tree. That the two olive trees in Zechariah represent the Jew and the Gentile, and how God has brought the two olive trees together, and that how the branches have been grafted in to the original olive tree according to Romans chapter 11. So, awesome. So you are a Jew. Say, I'm a Jew. And I can say, I'm a Christian. Because we're all one. Amen? In Christ, in the Messiah Jesus. Apart from Jesus, we are separate. But in Jesus, we are one. Amen. We are the church. Hallelujah. Also remember, you know, the kinsman redeemer in the book of Ruth, he's the one that was supposed to redeem Ruth because it was his right to take her, but he refused it, and he left Boaz to redeem her. And this shows a picture to us of the law. The law is like the kinsman redeemer. The law could not redeem us. So Yeshua, Jesus, our Savior, showed grace towards us and chose to redeem us. Because you know the two wave loads that are prophetic of the one new man, Jew and Gentile, one in the Messiah, one in Yeshua. But it also, we see that through the union of Boaz and Ruth came David down the line, King David, and through David came Jesus, the Messiah. So from this union of Jew and Gentile came our Messiah. It's so awesome when you think about it. You know, it's interesting how we fulfill our destiny. But how many of you know, and it is written down in history, it's not in the Bible, but it's in the historical books, that Boaz, when he consummated the marriage with Ruth, Boaz was 80 years old and she was 40 years old. Okay? And after that night that they consummated the marriage, the next day Boaz died. The very next day. And you can find this in the Midrash, which is the Jewish writing of the rabbis who recorded the history of the things that went on through over time. And it says Boaz died the next day. So he fulfilled his destiny, and then God took him home. Isn't that amazing? Now, I feel bad for Ruth. When you think about it, because she had lost her first husband, right? And now she gets married, finally gets married. She gets all this great inheritance, but she loses her husband again. That's sad. But he fulfilled his destiny. Hallelujah. Praise God. And you can look it up. And you know, if you look it up on the internet, you know if it's on the internet, it's true. Amen. Praise God. So let's look at Ephesians 2, 14 and 15. It says, for he himself, Jesus, is our peace. He who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, therefore putting to death the enmity, and he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and those who were near, for through him we both, Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit to the Father. Thank you, Jesus. And then verse 7, let's take a look at this, the counting of the Omer, the sheaf of the first fruits offered to the Lord. How do we count the Omer now? How do we count the sheaves? What do these sheaves represent? You know how we talk about reaching the harvest, right? Reaching souls in this world with Christ to bring the harvest in. We talk about the harvest. Well, like this church here is a sheaf that God has put together. And we want to bring the sheaves. And we offer ourselves. We are part of the sheaf. Because when you look at a sheaf, it is made up of all the grains together, bound together. And we as a church, and there's another church down the street, and there's another church across the town, there's another church there. Each one represents like a sheaf. And we need to offer ourselves to the Lord. So how do we count the sheaf? How do we count the Omer now? This is how we do it. In Romans 12, 1 through 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or your reasonable act of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So how do we offer the wave loaf to the Lord now? We offer our lives as a living sacrifice. We give ourselves to him. We say, God, I belong to you. I'm not my own. I was bought with a price, the blood of Jesus. And I thank you so much that you love me with an everlasting love. I thank you, God, that you called me to be your child. I thank you, God, that I am your child. I thank you, God. And you can just continually offer yourself as a living sacrifice to God. And so we offer the first fruits of our life and our heart and everything that we are to the Lord. This day, why don't you decide in your heart today that you're going to renew your commitment to Jesus today? You may be serving him now. You may be walking with him. But make a fresh commitment today. Say, Lord, I put the past behind me. Just like the Apostle Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, I press toward the mark of the upward call in Christ Jesus. And so God wants you to press toward that mark. He wants you to put behind everything behind you. Forget the past. Forget it. There have been good times in our past. There have been bad times. There's been struggles and there's been victories. But we, like I said today to the graduates, you can learn from your past, but don't go and live in your past because your past will hold you back. Use what you have learned from the victories and the mistakes of your past and go forward today in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Now, I want to share something really exciting with you. Something, a revelation that I got out of the Word that was so exciting to me that I was going, wow, God, now I know why you gave the Holy Spirit on Shavuot. Why you chose for them to wait until this day. Because remember, when Jesus rose from the dead, and before he ascended up on high, he said, go to Jerusalem and wait. Well, Jesus, what's wrong now? I mean, everything's done. You died on the cross. You rose from the dead. Why can't we have the Holy Spirit now? Why do we have to wait 40 days? Why? Why do we have to wait 50 days after the sacrifice? Why do we have to wait? They didn't know how long they had to wait, but God had a purpose and a plan. So what, you'll understand it more when you realize what happened when God first gave the law to Moses. We find in Exodus 32:15, and Moses turned, went down from the mountain, and the two tablets of the testimony were in his hand. So he had the Ten Commandments in his hand. The tablets were written on both sides, on one side and on the other side they were written. Now the tablets were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God engraved on the tablets. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said, Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. In verse 25, it says, now when Moses saw that the people were unrestrained, for Aaron had not restrained them to their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the entrance of the camp and said, whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him. In verse 27, it says, and he said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, let every man put his sword on his side and go in and out from the entrance to the entrance to the camp, and let every man kill his brother, every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. Wow. Kill them? So the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. That number, 3,000. 3,000 people died when the law was given. 3,000. And because the law, there's a righteous requirement of the law, and when you violate the law, you receive the repercussions of that violation. They fell short of what was commanded them to do. And so they were killed because of it. They died because of it. But now let's look what happened when God gave his spirit on Pentecost. Do you remember the scripture that says, the letter kills, but the spirit gives life? See, the law could not save us. The law kept us in check. The law kept us from sinning, but it could not save us. And God had to send his spirit, and we'll see here. In Acts 1:8, Jesus told them, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Altogether, the number of names were about 120. Now, I want you to keep in mind two things, the number 3,000 and the number 120. Because remember, on Shavuot, the pattern for the tabernacle was given also. And so when we see the Temple of Solomon built, you're going to see a similarity to the day of Pentecost, okay, as well as the law given by Moses. Acts 2, verse 1 and 2, it says, when the day of Pentecost, or Shavuot, had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all, say the word all. Were just some of them or all of them? All were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Verse 41, I skipped to this because I want you to know, Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. He began to preach, and he began to tell them to repent and come to Jesus, and so it says, then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and on that day, about how many? 3,000? On that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. So let's get this picture here. When the law was given, 3,000 people died. When the Spirit was given, 3,000 people lived. Isn't that exciting? Am I talking to the right people today? What a revelation. The law, the Spirit kills. I mean, the law kills, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And so when you have the law of the Spirit in Christ Jesus, you have the life. And when the Spirit of God comes, you have life. And so I'm so excited that on this day, God chose, on a day that was sad for the Jewish people because 3,000 people died because of the giving of the law. Now it is a day of joy because 3,000 people lived because of the giving of the Spirit. Amen. John 1:17 says this, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He's our Messiah. He's our King of Kings. He's our Lord of Lords. You know, Solomon's temple showed a pattern for the day of Pentecost. Because in the temple, we see in 2 Chronicles 5:17, and the Levites who were the singers and all those of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun with their sons and their brethren stood at the east end of the altar, clothed in white linen, having cymbals and stringed instruments and harps, and with them, how many priests? 120. Interesting, huh? There was 120 priests sounding with trumpets. So they were all gathered together, just like on the day of Pentecost when the disciples, 120 of them, were up in the upper room, right? Do you know of the 120 in the upper room, one of those 120 was Mary, the mother of Jesus? Did you know that? Yeah. Read it in the first chapter of the book of Acts. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was in the upper room. So Mary, on the day of Pentecost, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and Mary spoke in tongues. Isn't that amazing? Praise God. So Mary was not Catholic. She was a Pentecostal. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But what I'm saying, though, is Mary, the mother of Jesus, was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in another tongue. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. So we see that. And here we are that there's 120, and it says they were all in one mind and one accord. They were all in that in unity together in the upper room. And suddenly a wind came. They heard the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So here the same thing happens in Solomon's temple, but in a before Jesus' time, they were in the temple, 120 priests sounding trumpets. Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and the singers were as one, making one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets, and cymbals and instruments of music, and praise the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever, that the house of the Lord, was filled with a cloud. And verse 14, and so that the priest could not continue ministering, because the cloud, the glory of the Lord, filled the house of God. So we see the pattern on Shavuot of the priests who were in one mind, in one accord, who were in unity, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And then on Shavuot again, on the day of Pentecost, we see the same thing happen to the 120 that were in the upper room. How many of you ever noticed that before? Well, it's a great revelation, isn't it, today? Hallelujah. You know, God's promise of the Holy Spirit in us. See, the Holy Spirit, if you read the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was there. But the Holy Spirit would come upon the people. And the Holy Spirit, it's just like King Saul. Remember, King Saul was not obedient to God. And yet, when he went among the prophets, all of a sudden the Spirit of God came on him and he began to prophesy because of the Spirit of God was there. And he experienced the Spirit of God. But God made a promise, and Ezekiel shares that promise in 36, 26, and 27. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will do what? I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Remember yesterday we talked about the Holy Spirit in us and that the royal law, in order to love people, in order to walk in the fruits and the gifts of the Spirit, it has to be the work of the Holy Spirit in us and through us. Because in our own strength, we can't do this. And God knew that, and he made the promise. And Ezekiel shared that promise when he says, I will put my spirit within you, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes. I will give you the ability to do it. Because we can't do it in our own strength. You know, even when you love somebody, I know people who are just love somebody, but after a while, if you're doing it in your own strength, all of a sudden they start noticing the faults in the other person. And after a while, something happens. It's like when people get married, it's like, oh, my baby. Oh, I love you, baby. Oh, I love you. I love you. I love you. And you talk on the phone for 3 hours, and you're texting for 36 hours, and, you know, you know, and you're just, oh, honey, honey. Oh, baby, baby, you know. And it's just you're in love. And then the first week you're married, it's like, what did I do? And you start getting, you're together, and it's like, he's irritating me. That habit, he keeps leaving his underwear on the floor. You know what I mean? After a while, if you don't have the love of God towards somebody, it's going to separate you. And that's why a lot of marriages end up in divorce. A lot of friendships end up broken. Because love, we try to love people in our own strength. As long as you are benefiting me, as long as you are helping me, as long as you are doing right by me, I will love you. But when you stop doing those things and you stop meeting my needs and you stop meeting what I want and you stop making me feel good, you see what it is? Me. When you stop doing all that, then it's time for a divorce. It's time to break this friendship up. That's called conditional love. But the only way we can have unconditional love is by the Holy Spirit. And so here we see the Holy Spirit here. He says, I will put my spirit within you And I will cause you, I will give you the ability to walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. And verse 28, then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will deliver you from all uncleanness. I will call for the grain and multiply it and bring no famine upon you. I will multiply the fruit of your trees and the increase of your fields, that you need never again bear the reproach of famine among the nations. So here God says, you're never going to be in famine. And we're look at your own life. You will not lack anything when you have the Spirit of God in you. It doesn't matter if you have material things, because we live in a material world where that we think we're successful if we have a house and a car and children and all these things, and this is success. That is not success. Success is walking with God. Success is having a close relationship with God. Because Jesus said, what does it profit a man or a woman if they gain the whole world but lose their soul? Your soul is of more value than all the things you could gain in this world. Yeah, it's nice to have a nice house. It's nice to have a good car. It's nice to have children. It's nice to have a money in the bank. It's nice to have those things. But that's not going to save you. You came into this world with nothing, and you're going to leave this world with nothing. Right? You came into this world with no clothes on, and maybe when they bury you, they'll put some clothes on you. But the thing is that you can't take it with you. You can't take it with you. So what are you doing with your life today? What are you doing with your future? Is it more important for you to make money, or is it more important for you to get closer to God? Closer to God. Does that mean you shouldn't make money? No, it doesn't mean that. But see, it has to be second. We have to put the Lord first. His ways first. His purpose is first. Because when you do that, just like Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. I find in the time that I don't put the Lord first and I'm trying to get ahead, or I'm trying to do something in my own strength, not realizing I'm doing it, but I do, we all do it, that I start losing. Things start going wrong. But when I put Jesus first, he gives me the ability to conquer, to be victorious. And he says, I will multiply your grain and no famine upon you. I'll multiply the fruit of your trees, the increase of your fields. You'll never need again to bear the reproach of famine. Hallelujah. Praise God. You are rich. Let's say your house burns down and you forgot to pay the insurance and you lost everything and you lost your family in an accident. I'm not saying these things are going to happen, but let's say all this happens to you. If you have Christ, you will stand. But without him, you will be defeated. Because you are rich just having him. You are rich just having your walk with God. Because it can all come and it can be all taken away. But I have found, the Apostle Paul said, I've learned to abound and I've learned to be abased. I learned that whatever situation I am, to be content. And I find my happiness through the things I have. I don't find my happiness through money. My happiness and my joy comes from the Lord. So if I have it, it's great. If I don't, it's still great. Amen? And that's a good attitude to have in life. Because we don't know what's going to come down the road to us. Not everything ever goes perfectly all the time. And things do go wrong. But God promises this. I will work all things together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to my purpose. He will take the good and the bad and he'll work it all together for good. Amen. And I believe that. I believe that. And I've been walking and serving the Lord for 45 years now. And in those years, I've had hard times and good times. In those years, I've had tragedy and I've had victory. In those years, I've seen people come and go out of my life, people I dearly loved and left me. You know, not my wife, thank God. Praise God. You know, the longer we're married, the more we love each other. It's awesome. If you can get past the first 7 years of marriage, you're okay. I think they call it in the Chinese culture too, the 7 year itch, right? So you make it past the first 7 years, you'll be okay. Praise the Lord. Let's go on. Ezekiel. Oh, we read that already. Okay. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. How many of you were blessed today by the word? I want to give a special invitation today. This is the most important thing you can do with your life. If you are here today and you know about Jesus, you've heard about Jesus, but you have never accepted him into your heart or give your life to Christ, I want to give that opportunity to you. And I want you to think about that while I sing this song called The Promise. And as I sing this song, The Promise, I want you to search your heart. And if you would like to make a commitment to Jesus today, to give your life to him and let him come. See, you can know about somebody but not know them. I can go to school and I can get a PhD in a certain area. Let's say I want to learn about a famous leader, and I'm going to become a specialist on this leader. There was a good president in the United States. His name was Abraham Lincoln. And so let's say if I went to school, and I decided I'm going to do my thesis on Abraham Lincoln, and everything about him. So I know everything I can know about this man. And I learned the things he did, his failures, because he had a lot of failures, and his accomplishments, and the things that he was used to bring change to this world. And I could maybe even learn the foods he liked to eat. And then I get on one of these TV shows, you know, like Steve Colbert or something like that. And I get on these TV shows, and they say, you are the foremost specialist on Abraham Lincoln in this world. Tell me, what did Abraham Lincoln like to eat? And you tell them, what did he do here? And you would tell them. And then the question comes, did you ever know Abraham Lincoln personally? Well, no. He's dead. I just know a lot about him. And see, that's the way it is with Jesus. There's a lot of people who know about Jesus, can tell you a lot about history. But the important thing is that Jesus died, but he rose again. And he's alive today, and he's here in this house today by the Holy Spirit. And he wants you to know him, not just to know about him. Because the Bible says the demons believe and they tremble. And the demons are not saved. They don't know Jesus. They're not born again. And so God wants to give you the opportunity to be born again today. He wants to give you that opportunity to know Jesus. So I want you to just search your heart while I sing this song. I've been watching you, holding on for me. But through the waiting and the wonder, somehow you still believe. If your faith is strong, someday you will find it may not come like you expect it, but it will come to you in that perfect time.
You may be waiting for the fire when I'm calling through the rain. You may be listening for thunder while I'm whispering your name. You may be searching for a sign to let you know that it's okay. But hold on, I'm on my way. I came to Abraham. I was the sacrifice. For 40 years I walked with Moses through the wilderness of life. I came to Calvary. I saw them crucify the Lamb. And as he rose up from the grave, I heard him say, he's coming back again. You may be waiting for the fire when I'm calling through the rain. You may be listening for thunder while I'm whispering your name. You may be searching for a sign to let you know that it's okay. But hold on, I'm on my way. When I'm calling through the rain, you may be listening for thunder while I'm whispering your name. You may be searching for a sign to let you know that it's okay. But hold on, cause I'm the promise. And I'm on my way. The promise is here today. And the promise that if you will give your life to Christ, he will come into your heart.
是的，今天就给你们每一位邀请，只要你愿意打开你的心，耶稣就可以进到你的里面，他的应许是为你预备的，让圣灵在你的里面动工，你是否已经预备好邀请耶稣住在你的里面？或许你过去听过他的名字，知道他的名字，但是你是否真的认识他，就是邀请他进到你的里面，让他做你生命的主。
If you would like, I want everybody to stand right now. Everybody.
请每一位都站起来。
And if you would like to give your life to Jesus today,
如果在我们当中有人愿意把你的生命交给耶稣，
I'm giving you an invitation and an opportunity.
我给你这个机会，向你发出邀请。
Will you come from where you're standing and come and stand facing me?
如果你是愿意接受耶稣做你个人的救主，我邀请你来到前面。
So we can pray with you.
我们要为你祷告。
And you can experience God's presence. Yes. Anybody else? Come. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.